It's time for the Lunch Break on ESPN 106.7, Auto Opelika's sports leader. To be a part of the show, give us a call at 321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or tweet us at Lunch Break ESPN.
So we've got a treat for you today. Greg Peterson, the machine, joins us again. It's been a few months since we have talked to our good friend out in Vegas. We will talk about that Auburn-Davidson matchup. Looking forward to talking a lot of basketball. Auburn, of course, off this week. A bit of a conundrum, I think, for Justin, ladies and gentlemen, because he is a workaholic. He likes football. But at the same time, this will give you an opportunity, Justin, to do something you normally don't get to do, which is sit back, I imagine, and watch a bunch of college football games. Because normally, you're getting to the games a few hours early. Yeah. You're monitoring it on Twitter, but you're doing other stuff. You're really kind of geared in on what's happening with the starting lineups. So I imagine you and the rest of the beat will enjoy a much-needed Saturday off.
Oh yeah, for sure. It's going to be good. This probably the perfect time to have an off week because you have LSU Alabama, the biggest game of the season so far.
Yeah.
Going to be on also. I mean, Penn State Minnesota looks like it could be a pretty fun one. Another game between two undefeated teams. And
you buying Minnesota here?
Not really. I like Penn State a lot. I think they're a very good. I don't know if anybody's touching Ohio State this year out of the Big Ten, but I really like that the way that Penn State team's made up. And I think Minnesota has been one of those teams that's been fortunate to get undefeated this far into the season. But, I mean, you can't take it away from them. They've done really good. And it's Minnesota.
Do you compare all kind of Baylor situation to Minnesota?
And yeah.
They have not really faced a lot of great opponents. And they've made
a lot of close wins.
Yeah, and they've done enough to win games, which is valuable, right?
Like
if you find yourself in a close game with Penn State, maybe you like Minnesota. But can Minnesota hang for 3.5 quarters and get themselves into a position late in the game? I'm not so sure. I think it's pretty clear that the talent James Franklin recruits is simply better than what Minnesota has.
Yeah, I think Penn State takes this one pretty comfortably. But, I mean, who knows? Stranger things have happened, and it is in Minneapolis. So this could be a really fun one.
You think Brian would go to this game, our friend up in Minneapolis, or do you think he's going to be too consumed with college? Because also, they've got an outdoor stadium, don't they? So you're braving the elements at the Gopher games.
Yeah, it'd be very interesting to see what they would end up doing with that. But yeah, I would go if I could brave the elements, but I don't know. I wouldn't live in Minnesota in the first place.
It's getting colder here. Did you wake up this morning and were you angry or did you really care?
No, I mean, it's fine right now. I think it really gets down
tonight.
Later tonight. So yeah, that's the problem. But you know, I'll be hopefully
warm
inside and nowhere near the cold.
You know who will not be inside?
You.
I will be on the sidelines tonight at Duck Sanford Stadium. Scott Bagwell and Rob Pate will be in the booth at Duck Sanford, and we will have that for you on Wings 94.3. Coverage at 6:30, kickoff at 7, round 1, Auburn-High-Murphy. Justin, we've got the Auburn-Davidson game. We've got college football. You've already mentioned some of the games. You've got another half sheet of sporting events. It's a great time of the year, even though we've now wrapped up baseball, college football in the most exciting month, arguably, of the season with all these rivalry games. We'll see how things shake out.
Mm-hmm.
You look like you're grinning over there. What's going on? No, we're good. And then basketball finally underway.
Yeah.
You're excited both about, of course, the NBA. I'm super stoked about college hoops.
Yep.
Have you listened to Bill Simmons' podcast with Steve Kerr at all?
No, I have not.
I think you would enjoy. I don't know if you're a Bill Simmons guy, but
no, I'm not.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I mean it's just never
appealed.
He's never really appealed to me. He hires some really good people, though.
I really
like a lot of the stuff at the Ringer, and I loved Grantland. So
right. Well, he had an interesting. If you are into that sort of thing, if the NBA is your cup of tea, and I thought you might have just because it was Kerr,
right?
And he talked some about his time as a player with the Bulls and Scottie Pippen, somewhat famously, and I think too often they bring this up in the podcast. One of the biggest criticisms of Scottie Pippen is him not going back into a game in the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't call the game-winning shot for him, and so he sat on the bench. And Kerr talks about how good of a teammate he was, and then he likens it to the roles switching a few years later with Draymond and KD, and now he's the head coach, and there's locker room turmoil.
Yeah.
Anyway, I guess I'm promoting a podcast that we have nothing to do with.
But yeah, exactly.
It was an interesting listen.
for sure. But yeah, we will talk about all things college basketball and college football this weekend. Of course, Auburn, like we said, on and off week, 334-321-1390. If you have any thoughts about Auburn basketball, Auburn football, college football, anything on your mind, call in today. But yeah, big college basketball slate this weekend, and then of course college football. Also, we'll talk a little NFL preview, what the action going on this weekend in the National Football League. And yeah, and also we will have Greg Peterson joining us later on in the show.
12:05.
So we will break down Auburn Davidson and then the board, I guess, and see what he likes about the early week, the first week of college basketball season.
Briefly, Justin, I know this is a Davidson team that Coach Pearl believes can give them trouble and can beat them.
Mm-hmm.
And you've pointed this out. Look, what is a good way to slow down a team like Auburn that's going to be probably sheerly more talented, even if it's a little raw, certainly more athletic. But Davidson has a lot of experience. They got a conference player of the year on their team.
Mm-hmm.
Disciplined, I would imagine. I think this is a fantastic matchup for Auburn in game two.
Yeah, Auburn's a 2.5-point favorite in this one. That shows you how good Davidson is and how much, you know, Vegas is you're going to have to wait and see kind of with Auburn right now. But Davidson's got a ton of experience. You will watch a lot of John Axel Gudmundsson, the Icelandic point guard from Davidson. He's pretty much on the floor all the time. I think he was top 10 in nationally in minutes played last season.
Is he playing 35-plus?
Yeah, he's playing
that's a lot
night
of
in and night out. They take a lot of threes. They hit a lot of threes. I think they were in the top 40 last year in threes made. They're a team that's going to spread the floor, try to shoot. It's going to be a test for Auburn's defense in a different way than necessary. All right, so Georgia Southern, when they played, it was a lot of dribble drive, get to the basket, you know, floaters, layups, all those kind of things on the inside. A lot of pounding the ball into the ground. Davidson's going to be more of a pass the ball a lot of heavy motion, shooting threes. Very similar to kind of what Auburn has been in the last few years. They're going to put up a lot of shots. They're very experienced. They know what they're running, and so it's going to be a challenge for Auburn's defense. They've got to be able to contest looks from deep. Be strong enough not to have to help and play too much help defense and rebound. And if you do that, you'll be in a fine position in this matchup. But yes, this Davidson team is going to be quite the challenge on the offensive end because they are well drilled, they're very experienced, and they know what they want to do, which is put up a lot of threes over you and try to sink you that way. They're a classic, annoying mid-major team that tries to flood you with threes and say, all right, come on, you might be more talented than us, but see if you can keep up with our offense.
Names to look out for on Davidson's side. You already mentioned one of them, John Axel Gudmundsson, also Kellen Grady.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm curious to know, who do you think are the two most important? Those are probably the two most important players for Davidson. Tonight's game, the way it sets up, the matchup. Who are the two most important players for Auburn? Because I think we'll see that this year vary on the matchup.
Yeah, I think if you look at the Auburn rotation against the Davidson rotation, you've got Davidson is got a 6'10 guy, and they're just tall across the board. Their starters are 6'5, 6'5, 6'6, 6'5, and then a 6'10 guy. So Auburn's not necessarily going to have this enormous size advantage like they had against Georgia Southern. So this, to me, is going to be a game of how well you can defend their best players. And to me, The big matchup in this one is going to be, I think, you're going to need a lot out of Javon McCormick and Samir Dowdy. Those are going to have to be your two leaders in this one. I think Wiley and Anthony McLemore will go up against their big man, and you know it's going to be a pretty good battle down there. It's going to be how much can Auburn's defense with McCormick and with Dowdy throw off Gudmundsson, Kellen Grady, Luke Frampton also was a really good shooter last season for Davidson. So It's going to be a very interesting matchup, and I think the backcourt is going to have to do a lot of work in this one, offensively and defensively, because Auburn's not necessarily a team that's going to be that much bigger than Davidson. They've got size. They might not be as athletic as you, but they've got the size. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how Javon McCormick, can he get off to a better start tonight than he had. You know, he had a rough start against Georgia Southern, but played a clean second half. And Samir Dowdy, can he be that leader on both ends of the floor? Because veteran leadership is going to win you a game like this. Because if you look at If you look at Davidson, they've got senior, senior, junior, and two sophomores in their starting lineup. They also bring an experienced junior off the bench. They're not going to be rattled in this environment. They're not going to be rattled by a team like Auburn. It's going to be time for Auburn to do a little growing up in this matchup, and you have to turn to your leaders first and foremost.
321-1390, join us. Let us know what you think about the matchup tonight at the Naval Academy, Auburn-Davidson. Should be a good one. We also have some basketball for you at ESPN 106.7 at 8 p.m. tonight. The Armed Forces Classic. Missouri-Georgia at 6 tomorrow evening and a doubleheader Sunday. Giants, Jets, Rams, Steelers. 321-1390, join us here on the lunch break. All right, Isaac Okoro, his defense. This team led, you mentioned Davidson, led with a lot of experience.
A lot of good wings shooting the ball. So
he's a factor.
Yes.
How? I mean, defensively, it was evident, I think, for Auburn fans that paid attention, and it's kind of fun to watch him play defense, which is not something you always say about a player playing that position.
Especially a freshman.
Yeah, and then in his athleticism, he's one of, if not the most athletic players on the team. Devin Cambridge also, I think, made a little bit of a splash in his college debut. Also, while I'm at it, just throwing players' names at you. Jamal Johnson, I thought his 8 points was nice against Georgia Southern. Yeah. He added
everybody's going to have to pitch. Everybody's going to have to pitch in this one. I think this is going to have to be senior-led. Daniel Purifoy could be a game-changer in this matchup if he can hit some shots. But if you look at Davidson last season, not a team that that rebounded a ton on the offensive glass, so Auburn has to be even more secure. And, you know, they want to get back on defense, and they're also going to want to get out and run a little bit, but I think that's going to be the key for Auburn. You know, last season Davidson 316th in offensive rebounding in the country, so Auburn is going to be able to kind of step in and, you know, make sure they end possessions, make Davidson go one and out as much as possible, because you don't want to give a team with good shooters multiple opportunities to get the ball, kick it back out, take shots. And
I want to see how this Auburn team reacts if Davidson gets hot a few times throughout the game, how Auburn reacts to those streaks. And if they have their own offensive lulls, probably will, can they manage, especially with this new-look team and some young players, can they weather that storm?
Right. This will be a really good marker for where Auburn is this season. You look at last season, Davidson lost to Purdue, who ended up being a really good team. They lost to Temple in overtime. They lost a close one to Wake Forest. And then they lost to North Carolina. And the teams that were elite last season that played Davidson took care of them and did it pretty soundly. The teams that were kind of towards the, you know, a little bit off the pace were the ones that had the close games. And I feel like that's what we're going to see in this one. You know, if Auburn comes out and takes care of business and wins this game, it's going to be a pretty big deal because of how much experience Davidson has coming back. If they lose this one, not the end of the world. You're just going to have to regroup, get ready for, you know, next week and see what you got, because you get South Alabama, a team that's going to experience as well, in Mobile next week. And then you start, you know, kind of leaning into that Thanksgiving schedule. I think this is a great opportunity for Auburn to, if they go out and win this game, however way they can get it, it will say a lot about a team that's adjusting to new roles and about the leadership they have to this moment.
I think it's a great opportunity, win or lose, because you're going to find a way. I think if you get a win, if you're Coach Pearl, you're pleased with your progress to this point. If you lose, Coach Pearl gets to point at his team and say, yeah, we've got a lot to work on if we want to get anywhere close
time.
To – yeah, exactly, second game of the season. I think it's a really good scheduling job, and one that'll be an entertaining game for Auburn fans. You can join us on the show here. It's a Friday. Justin, what are we having for lunch today? I'm gonna go croutons in my red pepper tomato soup. Does that work for you?
Good. That sounds like a good mix.
Soup. It's now officially cold, so I can have that. Is that fair? A lot of comments on the medium rare plus. A lot of people thought that was strange. A lot of people weren't.
Yeah.
A lot of people weren't feeling that.
No.
I got comments throughout the afternoon and evening. Uh-huh. Sarah's parents called. They both asked, "What is that?"
My mom was supposed to ask you about it.
She did this morning when I went and spoke with Coach Weingarten. She did, and she said, "There's a medium rare, and there's a medium for that, man." And I said, "I mean, I like my steak how I like it."
Yeah. Very picky. Very, very, very picky.
Just, you know, letting the people know that there are options. There are, Justin.
Because you haven't gotten a steak that was any different than a medium rare steak.
Let's agree to disagree. You hear that and you don't get it.
You don't get your steak cooked the way that you wanted to. But yeah, 334-321-1390 if you want to join the show, talk all things Auburn basketball, Auburn football, college basketball, college football, anything on your mind in the world of sports, we have got it coming up for you here on today's show. Free Money Friday also coming up in the second hour. Got some interesting games on the board, including, I think, one of the ones that you need to keep an eye on the most in the SEC is a game that's not necessarily a big one. Arkansas, there is some trouble going on right now with Chad Morris, and they play a Western Kentucky team that is quarterbacked by a former Arkansas quarterback. So, Arkansas switching quarterbacks in that one. Former Arkansas player coming back to Fayetteville for this one. So, it's going to be a really, really interesting matchup in that one. That might be something you need to keep an eye on for Free Money Friday coming up later on in today's show. Like Painter said, the machine, Greg Peterson, one of our favorites, comes back, college basketball back in our lives, so we'll get to run down the Auburn-Davidson game, get some perspective from him on Davidson as a guy who knows college basketball at an encyclopedic knowledge, I think is the best way to put it. So we'll have him coming up in the second hour as well, one of our favorites. So make sure you stay tuned to the lunch break here on ESPN 106.7. We come back, Painter.
Yes.
Deion Sanders, is he a candidate to Florida State?
Florida State fans think so.
The Abbey Award-winning Lunch Break.
Painter Sharpless, Justin Ferguson, hanging out with you on a Friday. The Drive live from Kia of Auburn, as they are every Friday. We're live from the Kia of Auburn studio. Justin will have Free Money Friday for you later on today. Greg Peterson joins us at the top of hour two. Auburn is off this week, but LSU Alabama will take center stage. Sort of reminiscent of that 2011.
Almost the same spot they were in 8 years ago.
Yeah, and then you look at the two teams, and a lot of what is made of that game is the amount of NFL talent that was on the field that night. And then, of course, there was a rematch later in the year. I guess it's possible that we could get a rematch if things shake out. But We'll put that aside. The amount of talent on the field tonight is pretty outlandish. I think there will be upwards of or almost 30 scouts at this game. So just about every NFL team will be represented. I'd be kind of surprised if they weren't, but I guess they're...
There's this one team being like, yeah, yeah.
Rather not.
Yeah, I mean, we don't really want anybody in this game.
But, you know, I think when you look at the two teams, there is an expectation that depending on how many... you know, guys declare early, there could be something like 20-ish players getting drafted or more this year coming out of these two programs.
I mean, yes, it's very similar to what we saw in 2011. And if you think about the defenses, especially from that game, good gracious, that was just elite talent on both teams for that. And I feel like now you've got that, but now it's offense that's going to be the one taking it. How high is Joe Burrow going to get drafted in this upcoming class? Of course, everybody thinks Tua Tagovailoa could be the number one overall pick, depending on what team needs a quarterback when, and all the receivers at Alabama, all the receivers at LSU. There's just so much skill position talent on this team, on both of these teams. And then there's some good defensive players as well. You can't forget Grant Delpit's in this game, a guy like Raekwon Davis up front for Alabama. So it is a pretty packed lineup for sure.
321-1390. We're talking college football, even though Auburn is on a break. We're also talking about that Auburn-Davidson game from Alumni Hall at the Naval Academy. James is on the phone. You can join and you can follow along at ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the ESPN 106.7 app. James, what's up?
Man, don't even start with that rematch stuff, man. That is not going to happen.
Okay,
I'm with you. I'm with you there. I don't think it's going to happen. Nope.
That is bad for football, and that is not going to happen. Now, who I think is going to win? I think LSU is going to win, but I want Alabama to win because I want to play them bad, like real bad. I want to play them so we can beat them the same way we did them back in 2014. See, those voters keep us out of that playoff because they know what we'll do for the Crimson Tide. Unlike Tide fans, we want you to win so we can play you, so we can show you who's best. Tide fans want you to lose so they can have that easy championship. We don't want you. We don't want you to lose. I want them to win because I want them real bad, real bad.
Yeah, I hear you. And for those of you listening who might not know, James, an Ohio State Buckeyes fan. Buckeyes about to. The Chase Young news today was very interesting.
It's annoying.
Very annoying, but, I mean, they're about to roll these next couple of games and get ready because, man, that Ohio State team's looking on fire right now, James.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. Please, don't say rematch, man.
All right, man. I don't think it's likely, but I'm not going to rule it out.
Yeah,
I'm not going
to rule it out. I hope it doesn't happen because I'd like to see some different matchups.
I think going into the year, so much of the focus.
Alabama, LSU, I want to see them mix it up with the Ohio States and Clemson.
Yeah, well, you know, the whole offseason, it seemed like there was a lot of conversation about how good Clemson and Alabama would be, and it's turned out that Ohio State and LSU are every bit as worthy. Perhaps Oklahoma is yet again. So we've got at least five teams in a spot of four that look good, and you could perhaps throw in another one here in the last month of the regular season, like Auburn did in 2017. Sometimes teams get hot. Let's go to the phones again. Shadow's on the line, 321-1390. Shadow, you were trying to find where to you could listen to the show. I know you're not from the Auburn Opelika area. Did you have any more luck with that?
I've got plenty of luck.
Good.
And, you know, I guess my first question is this whole business of college football rigged?
Some people think it is, and I think there's some elements to it. That where do you want to go in? What direction do you want to go in with this, Shadow?
Well, I guess the direction I would like to go is let's back up a few games. And are you or any of y'all going to expect me to believe that the referees called Auburn and LSU fairly?
No.
It's hard to watch the offensive line for LSU competing against the Auburn defensive line and say that there's not a few plays in which a ref saw
Key
what was
plays,
going
on. It was crazy. It was crazy. Probably one of the worst officiating games.
Anybody contact the dadgum officials or the people that's over the officials? I mean, how do you keep justifying? I mean, I've gone back in multiple games where Alabama has played a team. Have you gone back and looked at the Alabama-Georgia national title game? They made a little 5-minute film on that on the radio. I mean, on the internet. And it was all about Alabama holding. I'm sitting there watching it now. And I'm seeing an Alabama man pulling on the face mask of a Georgia player, and I'm looking at the referee in the background, and he ain't pulled a flag yet.
Yeah, it's
now, guys, I mean, I'm just going to tell you, how do you continue to believe that there is honesty when you see these things over and over again?
Yeah, I think, Shadow, I think you are voicing an opinion that a lot of fans have, especially fans of not Auburn and, I mean, not Alabama, basically. You get to see an officiating crew time and time again. It feels like there's favoritism. I know in the Big 12, Texas is a team that people think always gets the calls kind of the favoritism that way. And, look, it's refereeing's bad everywhere right now, Shadow, and every
– I'm saying this is I promise you right now that the referees will have a direct effect on this Alabama LSU game.
Okay.
And I'm going to go toward Alabama, which has been the case if anybody's watching out there that does not drink while they're watching TV or a football game. because it's clear to me after watching Alabama for 50 years, they're one of the darlings in college football. Yeah. And they're one that the referees are going to side with. Now, I do expect that LSU will get a few benefits, but I'm just saying, is it not clear that there are favorites in college football and then there's teams that's not favorites?
Yeah, no, I'm 100% with you, Shadow, and we appreciate the call. We're going to have to get to another caller in a second. But, yeah, this is a thing that's been going on for a long time in college football, and it seems like every conference has one where people feel like it gets protected. It gets the favoritism, the advantage.
Look, I'll even say it, and I think it's partially a scrutiny thing, like the Patriots – the significant other is a Bills fan. That division, bad, sure, but the Jets, the Dolphins, the Bills.
I feel like the Patriots get it.
Yeah, it's like if they're ever in a close game, it seems like one of those calls tends to go their way, and I'm not going to disagree with that.
Look, there was a lot of people who were saying after the Auburn-LSU game that they were trying to protect LSU because they wanted to get that Alabama-LSU matchup, the one that we're getting this weekend. Mm-hmm. So, look, I mean, you're not saying anything that other people haven't already said before, Shadow. We appreciate the call. Hope to hear from you again next week. We got to get to our next caller. Daniel is waiting. What's up, Daniel?
Hey, guys. How y'all?
Pretty good. How are you?
Very good. Very good. It's Friday, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear Shadow, and we can all grouse about the referees, but if you're winning by three touchdowns, the referees can't change that. You know?
Yep.
If you leave it in the referees' hands as a team, and anybody who's ever played the game knows from Pee Wee on up, if you leave it to somebody else to win, there's a good chance you'll lose. So yep. if you go out and handle business and dominate, and yes, there are close games and those things matter, inches matter, and I get fighting and clawing and scratching and grousing about lost opportunity. But, you know, Shadow, take heart. I think Auburn is going to leave no doubt in some of the games this year and coming up and won't be in the referee's hands. So, Take some heart, Shadow. We're heading that way.
But there we go.
My question was about that actually, which is you know, Georgia coming up. What I have seen is their defense, you know, pre-stout offense, sputters at times, seems to be in some ways a mirror image. But I guess what I wanted to ask you guys about was Bo Nix at home versus Bo Nix away.
Yeah.
And his progress. Seems to be obviously a performer at home. Do you think this is his game to kind of shake off the doubt and or grow up and graduate from true freshman to Auburn quarterback?
Yeah.
I say yes. I also say look at the competition away. It just so happens far.
The toughest games they played this season have all been away from home, and now you finally get your two toughest ones at the end of the season. To date, you're going to say, okay, this is your chance to do it at home. And I've said it, you know, for last week about Auburn's offense, but I think Daniel, to your question specifically, it says a lot about Bo Nix as well. We're about to find out if Bo Nix's struggles and Auburn's offensive struggles were due to the fact they were playing in Death Valley and in the Swamp, or due to the fact that they were playing LSU in Florida. And so now you get Georgia and Alabama, two stout defenses at home. He looks a whole lot more comfortable, as he said after the game against Ole Miss. He could hear himself think again, and they're going to do a lot of checks and a lot of stuff. They're going to have that advantage. I think this could be the game. If he puts together a good performance, and Auburn beats Georgia, I think it's a really good sign for his growth and his projection that the first couple of games, those LSU and Florida games, were I'm a true freshman in a tough environment and things didn't go my way and I made mistakes. And then these are the games where you can show that, but against elite competition, I can take a step forward. And then next season, when Auburn's got to play those teams away from home, he'll be more prepared for it.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. Well, thank you, guys. Y'all have a good one. Looking forward to it.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Appreciate the call, Daniel. Appreciate the call from Shadow as well. Yeah, I think this is going to be a big game for Bo Nix coming up. I think what Auburn did against Ole Miss was kind of a sign of what they can do against Georgia, those quick passes, he looks so much more comfortable and in rhythm. Malzahn has said it a couple times this week, that was Nix's best game. And I think for Auburn, when you start the game plan for Georgia, you got to say, okay, why did this work so well? Why did he look so comfortable and try to pull it off against Georgia? Georgia's defense is nasty, and they're going to make life hard on Nix in some aspects. But the fact he'll have the crowd behind him, yep. He won't have to worry about it. He can do some more checks at the line of scrimmage, I think, will go a long way for sure. Let's get to break. When we come back, we will talk a little bit more about the college football weekend at large and kind of run down the games going on this weekend.
This is the Abby Award-winning Lunch Break.
Welcome back to Lunch Break on ESPN 106.7. Justin Ferguson, Painter Sharpless with you. Auburn football off this weekend. Auburn basketball, of course, playing this evening against Davidson. I'll have a little bit more talk about that in the second hour with the machine Greg Peterson. Also break down a little bit more in the college basketball world. Right now, though, let's turn our attention to the Week 11 slate in college football. Kind of run down what we are going to be keeping our eyes on tomorrow. Free Money Friday also coming up in hour number two, so won't try to give too much away right now. I think I'll be surprised if we talk about any of the games I picked for Free Money Friday. I'm having to dig a little bit lower on the board this week. But, Penny, let's start off, though, with the first undefeated versus undefeated game. We talked about it a little bit at the top of the show. Penn State, Minnesota. Penn State, 6.5-point road favorite against Minnesota. Is Penn State been the most the quietest undefeated team you can remember in a while? That is number four in the country at this point. Maybe not a Baylor or even a Minnesota, but the fact that Penn State, if the season ended today, there would be a lot wrong with that. But if the season ended today, they'd be in the college football playoff. They're a playoff contending team, and yet doesn't feel like a lot of people have gotten to see a lot of them.
Feels like no one's talking about them. They have one of the best players in the country, and the situation around his eligibility I find to be a nuisance on behalf of the NCAA, but we'll see how that sorts itself out. Clemson has been another big part of the story, but everything about them has been, well, they're underachieving, they're confident. And then you've got LSU and Alabama, very exciting matchups. So between those four teams and then Oklahoma, it does feel like Penn State, who, by the way, is ranked ahead of a bunch of those teams I just mentioned, isn't getting any notice.
Right, and they've got some real, real weapons on offense. They continue to tick along. I think James Franklin's doing a great job there.
If they get to the playoffs this year, does it change anything about the rumor mill that he might look toward a job like USC?
If he can make it to the playoff in the Big Ten East, with Ohio State being the way it is, if you can beat Ohio State this year and get there, you can build something great at Penn State. There's no doubt about that whatsoever.
It's not the same because they had a little bit more established history and they've had some success right off the bat with him, whereas with Dabo it took a little time. Mm-hmm. But for a long time the conversation was Dabo to Alabama. Not saying that that couldn't happen, but the general feeling now is, well, he's built such a great program in Clemson.
Why would you leave?
Yeah. And with Franklin, I start to wonder, well, it's not like he's won a national title, let alone two yet, but if, like you're saying, you can compete against Ohio State and get yourself to the playoffs.
If you can beat them.
Yeah, it starts to feel like, well, maybe USC isn't quite as appealing, and who knows, maybe he's not that interested after all.
Right, and James Franklin is a Pennsylvania guy. It would just be I can see why USC would put him, if USC's not getting Urban Meyer, I can see why James Franklin would be number two on the list. His energy, his style, his demeanor just feels like it would fit really well in Southern California, and so that would be the pick. Minnesota, hats off to Minnesota. They haven't played a ton of really good teams yet, but you can only play the teams on your schedule. And here's the thing: it's Minnesota. They have not been undefeated this late in the season since World War II. They're doing really well right now. But listen to Minnesota's schedule so far, Painter. They beat, on the first Thursday night of the season, they beat South Dakota State by a touchdown. They beat Fresno State by three in double overtime. They beat Georgia Southern by three. They beat Purdue by a touchdown. And this is before Purdue just imploded. They beat Illinois by 23. They beat Nebraska by 27. They beat Rutgers by 28. And they beat Maryland by 42. So they got through the toughest part of their schedule, which was their non-conference. They've got to tee off on some teams not so good in the Big Ten. They wrap up this season. They got to play Penn State this weekend. They play Iowa next weekend. They play Northwestern, which it's Northwestern, so you probably got that one. And then you got Wisconsin to end the season. So this quickly could be a 9-3 season that started 8-0. But you still feel great. PJ Fleck signing his extension this week. It would be very funny. It would be very college football for PJ Fleck to sign this extension at Minnesota and then immediately just boom, just drop off. Like, I don't think they lose to Northwestern, but if they lost to Penn State, Iowa, and Wisconsin to end the season and then go get smacked around by, I mean, heck, they could draw Auburn in a bowl game and catch one at the Outback Bowl or something like that.
By comparison, because we've mentioned Baylor and some of their close games, Baylor played two FCS schools, won those with ease, beats Rice by 8, beats Iowa State by 2. They did beat Kansas State by almost 20. That's their biggest win of the year. They win by 3 against Texas Tech. They beat Oklahoma State by a few scores and then West Virginia home by 3 points. So there's some similarities between the two teams, but I think Minnesota is interesting in part because we have seen Baylor in this position some within the last few years. Minnesota, this feels exciting with Fleck, the extension. You know, he made that case for game day to come, and obviously that didn't happen, but I'm excited if I'm a Minnesota fan. You feel relevant, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, you definitely feel relevant.
You should go into the game with some excitement, even though you should probably understand it's going to go Penn State's way.
More than likely, it will go Penn State's way. We'll see. Other top 25 games on Saturday, or teams involving top 25 games involving top 25 teams. Florida gets to rebound from that loss to Georgia with Vanderbilt. 27-point favorites in that one. This should be quite a breeze. Baylor-TCU, the rivalry, is always really interesting. 8-0 Baylor is at TCU.
Doesn't it feel like a game where Baylor could totally drop this?
They could drop this. And look at TCU right now. TCU, so far this season, or the last few weeks, they've lost by 7-0 Oklahoma State, 10 to beaten Texas by 10, 7, lost to 7, lost by 7 to Kansas State. They've been back and forth, blown out by Iowa State, blowout Kansas. Like, this is a team that you really lost to SMU earlier in the year. It's a team you really don't know what you can expect out of them. So this could be a where you wake up. So tomorrow, a lot of people are going to be keeping an eye on that Minnesota-Penn State game before we get to Alabama-LSU. But I'm saying keep an eye on Baylor-TCU. It could be a fun one. SMU should probably roll against East Carolina after their first loss of the season. Then we have LSU and Alabama. Painter, we've both been on the record. You're picking LSU with this one? You're staying with LSU?
No. I my gut tells me to take LSU, but I'm not taking I'm not taking LSU until they can beat. I learned my lesson. I went with my gut when Auburn went to Baton Rouge and thought, you know what? I'll just ignore the last 20 years of evidence. That didn't work out. Yeah. I think Alabama getting their first huge game at home in a number of seasons. I don't think Tua's 100%, but I think he's good enough. I think Alabama wins a close game at home.
It'll be a great game, but I think Alabama wins it at
home.
And
I don't think anyone is going to be shocked if LSU finds a way to win.
No, not at all.
But
not
if I'm
all.
Picking this game straight
LSU
up.
LSU wins that game, it's like, oh, man, they are like, you know they're for real, but then it's like, oh, they are really, for real.
It really changes the narrative because Les Miles, for as good as he was consistently, that was a thing.
They could never get the offense figured out. And that Ed Orgeron was the one to get it going.
And down the stretch couldn't beat Alabama. And Ed Orgeron, really, the only thing he's not been able to do in this revival with LSU and getting them back into the top five.
He's got
to
beat Alabama.
Absolutely.
But I think this is going to be like what we always think of LSU and Alabama. It's like so much hype. But Alabama beats LSU because this is just what happens. But it will be one of those things where until I'm proven wrong, I'm going to roll with it. Kansas State, Texas. Kansas State coming off, they're 6-2. Texas is a favorite in that one, by the way. Wake Forest is a 2.5-point road favorite against Virginia Tech. Painter, this is the anniversary of the 0-0 game. Wake Forest and Virginia Tech.
Go Hokies.
Cincinnati should hammer UConn. Iowa, Wisconsin is man, Fox is just like, well, we got to put something on up against Alabama, LSU, and the fact that it's probably the third best game of the day, Iowa, Wisconsin. Be very interesting. This game could finish somehow. Could finish 4-3 or something like that. Georgia and Missouri. Missouri, man, Missouri's not looking good recently.
Weird season for them. One with high expectations. Started off with losing to Wyoming. Then suddenly they start winning some games, and you go, ah. That's the team I knew they were going to be, and now it's like, well,
they lose to Vanderbilt, and they lose to Kentucky.
Maybe not.
So they go to Georgia on Saturday, see if Georgia's offense can kind of click, and people will keep their eyes on that one.
So obviously this doesn't all fall back on Kelly Bryant, but Missouri has had a good defense this year. At the same time, though, do you think that the way that the Missouri season has gone would impact any Auburn fans' minds about whether or not pursuing Kelly Bryant and ultimately not –
If they wanted him. They really wanted him.
you know, does and look, he would have better talent at Auburn.
Yeah.
And a coach who's used a player
he didn't want to get beat up by a freshman again.
And I get it. But I do wonder if the results have changed in the Auburn fans' minds.
Since he got hurt in the middle of the season, he hadn't quite looked the same.
And I think it's a little unfair of me to put those two situations next to each other. But I am curious to know if Auburn fans have backed off at all of the idea that he would have been the difference for Auburn being undefeated.
Clemson is a 33-point road favorite against NC State this weekend.
Seems reasonable. Woo! Seems about right.
Duke taking on Notre Dame away from home. Oklahoma is going to try to keep themselves in contention. They play Iowa State at home on Saturday night. And then Boise State taking on a Wyoming team that's, if you wanted a sneaky good late game in this one, Wyoming's 6-2. And Boise State 7-1 this season on the Smurf turf in Boise. So that is your top 25 rundown in college football this weekend. We'll head to the phone lines before we go to break.
321-1390. Yeah, Olin is on the line.
What's up, Olin?
Well, not much. How you guys been doing today?
Doing great. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I'm just always on my mind thinking about our football games that are coming up.
Uh-huh.
It's nice to have a week off for the fans, you know. I don't know about the ball club, but it's good for us fans to have a week off. You know, I think, just throwing my two cents out there, I think we can beat either one of those games. And as I've said before, I don't ever believe in losing a game before you get into it. And that is, you know, from a fan's view, from my view, I believe we'll win each game. But, you know, facts of the matter is if we go forward to January the 1st and look back, then if we're able to win one of the two games, it will be very good based on where we are today.
Yeah.
Which one of those games, I don't know. It's according to a lot of things. One is according to how we play, but it's also according to how they play. They're not so dominant that they can just ignore the way they play and come in here and beat Auburn.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think Auburn's defense is going to keep them in. We saw them do it against LSU. They're going to keep them in every game.
We ended up the thing within 3 points. You know, I mean,
yeah,
that's pretty darn good against the number one team in the nation. You know,
I agree.
I think that based on everything I know, we're going in the game without anybody hurt. Now the only person hurt is Whitlow, but I don't think Whitlow is really that critical.
Yeah.
To how we end these games. I think the most critical thing is our ability to sustain drives.
Yep.
Which is going to require some passing. I don't have any hope that they will change their running attack. That is, I mean, I've seen Gus's offense enough to give up hope. He's going to run between the tackles. I wished he would set up some running on slants off tackle more than just dead into the middle, but I'm not going to hold my breath till that happens because I've seen it. I swear, you know. The other thing, if he was listening for advice, I would give him a little advice. And that is, and I'd tell this to any team, when you go up against teams like we're going up against, you're not going to pin them back and hold them on their 10 or 15-yard line. And they can drive the ball 85 and 90 yards as well as they can drive it 45 yards. Which means I would probably, when I pass the 50-yard line, I would go into a four-down mode and I would know that going in the game. There wouldn't be any decisions made. I mean, we would know, everybody would know, when we could pass that 50-yard line, we're laying our ears back and we go into the end zone. I would also say we would use our field goal kicker if we absolutely have to. But, you know, the situation is with field goal kicking, with the experience we had against Ole Miss, you can't afford to kick field goal. You cannot afford to kick 40-yard field goals. You're better off to try to throw 10-yard passes. Okay? That's just my view. And I've always been against kicking the field goals anyhow.
There you go. I like that, Olin. Be aggressive.
Well, yeah, why not?
There you go.
I mean, you're the underdog. Listen, if you go into those games and you think that they're the underdogs, you've lost your mind. You are the underdog. We are the underdog. Therefore, we need to do things that are different. And if you've studied a bunch of things anyhow, putting together any kind of strategy or plan, one of the key elements is surprise.
Mm-hmm.
What can we do that'll surprise them? One is do things that they don't expect us to do. That's surprising, okay? And the other thing is I would put 11 people on the field, and I wouldn't be jerking them on and off the field. The packages aren't working. You can change your team when you go for the next series, but I'd put in 11 people. The only time reason you'd come off the field is because you were hurt.
Yep.
And we'd run the same plays. Now I'm just giving you my view as a fan.
Yeah.
I think that this trying to mix it and match and change every play is confusing to everybody.
Yeah.
Olin, great points, and we really appreciate the call. We're going to get to our final break here.
Yeah.
But definitely appreciate the input, the call, 321-1390.
Yeah, and I think he's saying a lot of things that Auburn fans want to say. Be aggressive, don't substitute as much, play fast, and hey, you know, go after him. Don't need to be tentative, especially when you're playing against two of the best teams in America.
The Lunch Break on ESPN 106.7.
Welcome back to the Lunch Break on ESPN 106.7. Justin Ferguson, Painter Sharpless. Short segment here right before the top of the hour. On the other side of the break, we've got the machine, Greg Peterson, back. Talking Auburn-Davidson, talking some college basketball on the board here for this weekend, first week of the season, what he thinks about the early matchups. And, we'll also take your calls, 334-321-1390. Appreciate it. Olin and Shadow and Daniel, James, all getting involved here in the first hour. Really appreciate the input. Some good topics of conversation. Second hour, we've also got we'll run through some NFL action, and Free Money Friday as well.
Trying to make some money, folks.
So stay tuned here on ESPN 106.7, and remember that podcast of this fine show are presented by University Ace Hardware. Available on ESPNAU.com and the ESPN 106.7 Podcast Center, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. University Ace is your Auburn helpful place located next to the movie theater. Painter, Auburn high playoff action tonight underway. Let the folks at home know how they can keep up with the Tigers as they start the 7A playoffs tonight.
Coverage begins at 6:30 on Wings 94.3. Kickoff at 7 from Duck Sanford, of course. We'll have you covered. That's Rob Pate, Scott Bagwell, myself, as well as Chris Hummel. 6:30 coverage begins, 7 o'clock kick. Auburn High round one shall be fun. You can follow along at wingsfm.com and, of course, on the Wings 94.3 app. That's going to be about it here for us in hour one. I will say, though, a busy day at ESPN 106.7 is The Drive, as they are every Friday live from Kia of Auburn. Give us a call in hour two. We will start things off in just a moment with Greg Peterson, and we'll talk college hoops, Auburn and Davidson with him. Try to get you a little money, too. That guy, one of the best in the business in college basketball gambling. So, with that, we'll head to our break. We'll take calls at 321-1390. Follow along at ESPN 106.7. And stay tuned for more Lunch Break. Painter Sharpless, Justin Ferguson, hanging out on a Friday edition of the show.
Now, more from your daily lunchtime companions on The Lunch Break on ESPN 106.7. To be a part of the show, call 321-1390, toll free 1-888-382-7502, or tweet us at Lunch Break ESPN.
Hour number two underway, and the machine has made his return. There are not many folks whose basketball knowledge I want more than my partner in crime here, Justin. However, Greg Peterson rivals you, Justin.
Oh, no, he's definitely got me. And he's definitely got me. We're glad to have the machine back with us. Greg, it's been a while. Good to hear from you. How are you today, my man?
Guys, I am doing great. Thank you so much for having me.
Absolutely, absolutely. All right, well, so we're going to get started with the game most people around here are going to be focusing on tonight, and it's Auburn-Davidson. From your perspective, Davidson hadn't played yet this season, but what could we expect from this Davidson Wildcats team? Bruce Pearl, have a ton of respect for the challenge Davidson's going to bring to Auburn tonight.
And rightfully so, because with Davidson, they've got some very good versatility. You've got essentially five guys out there on the floor that are able to shoot threes. You've got a guy like a Luke Frampton. He's got a little bit of size. Last year, he was a 40% three-point shooter. Kellen Grady, also a very nice player. I like the way that he's able to fill it up with right around 16 points per game. But the guy I really look for is John Axel Goodmanson. He's been a three-year starter at Davidson. He is now a senior. He essentially fills it up. 16 points, 7 rebounds, over 5 assists per game last year. So that is going to be the biggest challenge. But where I think Auburn could have them is depth. Because the one thing that I dislike about Davidson is that last year they were really only going about 6 deep. They maybe expanded it to 7 deep with their recruiting class, but this is not a team that's going to play a whole lot of guys.
And Greg, what do you think about this Auburn team right now, or at least heading into this season? Got one game under their belt, but when you lose Jared Harper and Bryce Brown and Chuma Okeke, there's going to be a big overhaul for sure. But what do you like about this Auburn team so far this season? Seems to be a very different one than the one they had last year.
Absolutely. I do like their low post play. I think that Austin Wiley is really going to be able to take over. We all know about some of the issues that he's had off the court, and just the fact that he hasn't been able to stay healthy in general, it's just been one thing after the other. He was so highly touted coming out of high school. I think that he's going to be able to hit his form this year. And then you have Anfernee McLemore. We all remember a few years ago when he went down with that injury. He was just such a good shot blocker. I think now coming off that injury 2 years now, I think that this is really the year that he's going to be back to his old self. And then I liked what I saw of Samir Dowdy in that game against Georgia Southern. He was able to pour in 20 points. You had McCormick play much better in the second half than he did in the first half. Mm-hmm. And you could tell that Auburn just wasn't necessarily themselves in the first half of that game against Georgia Southern. But towards the end of the game, they were playing a little bit better as a cohesive unit. And they still, even though they don't quite have the guard play that they did last year, they're still able to play some very stifling defense and get steals.
Greg, what's your thought on this Auburn team? As Justin just mentioned, lost a lot. From an outsider's perspective, though, you've got some experience coming back, although those players are in new roles, and a bunch of new freshmen. What are your thoughts about this team as they stack up compared to the rest of the Southeastern Conference?
I think that you've got a lot of teams in the SEC that have some turnover. Keep in mind, LSU, who went 16-2 in conference, they're having to replace a whole lot. A guy like a Tremont Waters, we talk about Auburn losing their two top guards from last year. Tremont Waters, a massive loss for them. Tennessee loses nearly everyone aside from Bowden from last year. So you do have a lot of transition in the SEC. I don't know if Auburn is going to be able to quite compete with Kentucky, which they obviously played the Wildcats very tough last year, as we all remember them knocking them off in the Elite Eight. But I still think that this is a solid team that's going to be right around the top 25. We all remember last year Auburn was able to get a 5 seed in the NCAA tournament. I honestly think that that is right around their range this year, probably like a 5 or a 6 seed. They're going to play better down low, but I just don't know if the guard play is going to be there like it was last year.
I agree with you 100% there, Greg. First week of college basketball, Greg, so it's a great time of year. Seen a lot of really good debuts across the country. I was just going to ask you, what freshman or what kind of newcomer caught your eye the most? Because we've had several really top-tier freshmen make some big performances in this first week of the season.
Oh, absolutely. Let's go to your neck of the woods. James Wiseman, he's going to be in action against the UIC Flames tonight. He had 28 points, 11 rebounds, a bunch of blocks. That was against South Carolina State. Obviously, the South Carolina State Bulldogs are not a team that's going to be challenging for a national championship anytime soon. But with that said, obviously very encouraging from a Memphis team that's starting 5 freshmen this year. And then how can we overlook Cole Anthony?
Yeah.
His debut against a very good defense in Notre Dame. He goes 12 of 24 from the floor. 34 points. Guy fills it up. In my opinion, this is the best guard in that freshman class, and I don't think there's any question about it. Was very impressed by Cole Anthony.
Yeah, he was outstanding, and I want to swing it a little bit to that what happened on Tuesday night. Kentucky, there's a lot of talk about Kentucky. Maxie played extremely well. You've got a lot to like about this Kentucky team. What did you make of Kentucky in their first matchup, knocking off Michigan State in that big opener, and kind of what we see from Kentucky this season? They're gonna get quite a while to before they get challenged again.
Absolutely, and obviously John Calipari is not so concerned about November. He's looking a little bit more at March, but you can tell that they didn't want to get off to the same start that they did last year when they gave up over 100 points to Duke. And this is a Michigan State team that isn't full at this point. You do have Langford out of the fold for them. Joshua Langford went down with a season-ending injury last year. He's going to be reevaluated in January. When he went out of the fold, he was averaging right around 14 to 15 points per game. But what I like about Kentucky is that they've got some veteran leadership. John Calipari seems to always do a little bit more when he's got a couple of returning guys in. Something that went a little bit under the radar, the fact that they got a graduate transfer in Nate Sestina. Nate Sestina,
yeah, he looked really good.
The Bucknell Bison last year, 15 points. He's 6'9" and shot 38% from three. Great versatility. He's essentially this year's Reed Travis, only he shoots the three better. So yep. I think that's going to set Kentucky up for some success.
You can follow him on Twitter, at GUnit_81. Greg Peterson joining the lunch break today. Way too early prediction. Give me your best three teams this year, and then give me your sleeper, Greg, on who can make a run in the tournament and mess some things up.
Ooh, that is a little bit of a tough one. I still think that when Joshua Langford comes back for Michigan State, they're going to be the best team in the country. Obviously,
yeah,
they did not show that a few nights ago, but I think that when they're full and when they get going in February and March, Tom Izzo just always has his team playing their best basketball at the end of the year, so I still have Michigan State up there. How about Louisville? They were able to smash Miami 87-74 on the road to begin the year. Jordan Nwora just doing a little bit of everything for the team, 24 points in that season opening game. And they returned the top free throw shooter from last year among qualified players, Ryan McMahon. He shot 94.9% from the free throw line. You had in there a graduate transfer from St. Joe's and Lamar Fresh Kimmel coming off the bench to give this team some leadership. I like them. And then at number three, it is a little bit more of a horse apiece. I would have to go with Kentucky. I did like what I saw from that game against Michigan State. Nate Sestina, I really think, is going to be a massive impact player for Kentucky. And Ashton Hagans, not a guy that's necessarily going to fill it up with like 20 points or anything like that, but he runs an efficient point guard spot, and he plays some solid defense. And then my sleeper, the Oregon Ducks. They played very well against Fresno State. Dana Altman, in my opinion, is one of the best X's and O's coaches in the country. And you've got a point guard in Peyton Pritchard that has started in a Final Four game. You bring in Anthony Mathias from New Mexico. He shot over 40% from three. And then you bring in Shakar Justin. He was one of the top JUCO transfers in the country a few years ago when he committed to UNLV. And then on top of that, you bring back Will Richardson. This is an Oregon team that they had to win the Pac-12 tournament last year just to make the NCAA tournament. I think that they essentially keep the ball rolling from last year, and they roll it into this year and make a deep run in March.
Greg, you're a busy man, and before I get to my final question for you, let everybody know where they can keep up with all your stuff because, like we said, nobody knows college basketball and the board better than you.
I appreciate it, and I always love coming on with you guys. At GUnit_81 is the Twitter handle. That's where you'll find all my podcasts and everything, and then I do a couple podcasts, College Hoops Overtime Betting, and that's Gold with Steve Heitner. You can find those on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, wherever you get your podcasts. And then you can find me 4 days a week on the Vegas Stats and Information Network, SiriusXM 204, Fubo TV, Sling. Wow. It's really growing, and I'm very happy to see it.
Yeah, we busy, man. All right. All right, Greg, I've been waiting to do this for a while. Here's the game I want you to tell me about tonight. Give me what I need to know about Incarnate Word at Northern Colorado tonight.
To your surprise, Incarnate Word was the top free throw shooting team in the country last year, but they lost their last 17 Southland games. This is a team that they are so efficient at the line, and typically when you think, oh, they are able to shoot their free throws, they'd be good. But this team just is not getting the job done. They got smashed in their season opener by Missouri. That was like Missouri 82, and Incarnate Word was somewhere in the 40s. This Incarnate Word team is good. I wouldn't lay your money on them. They are just a team that's going to be finishing at the bottom of the Southland, and they still don't return their top players from last year. So, unfortunately, it's going to be a long season for the Cardinal, but good people over there.
All right. All right. It's why we have him on. No one can tell it better than the machine. Greg Peterson, thanks for coming back on with us. Hopefully we'll make this a regular thing throughout college basketball season. Have a good week, my man.
Gentlemen, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Machine Greg Peterson. Oh, wow. And
he's back.
We couldn't slip anything by him.
No.
I could see his grin on his face.
Yeah.
I could see it when you asked the question.
The man knows his stuff, and he knows his college basketball, and he has a lot of fun doing it. And, yeah, now on seriously working with the VSIN, that is a big, big deal.
He'll make you some money, too. We enjoy having Greg on.
All right, let's get to break when we come back. Let's keep the train rolling, Painter. A little Free Money Friday action and some NFL talk on the other side of the break.
You're on the Lunch Break on ESPN 106.7.
Painter has a question. Is Clocks by Coldplay the
most unintentionally sad song?
Yeah.
It makes me sort of feel nostalgic / sad.
Yeah.
We'll put it on the poll.
That's the thing about Coldplay, though. It's like they've got songs that I think that are kind of meant to do that. Like Fix You. That one's supposed to try to make you feel things.
What about, is it Viva La Vida?
Viva La Vida. That one's a little bit different. But that one was really popular for a while.
I think I was in 11th grade, and that one was maybe sophomore year of high school, and that one was really jumping on the charts, if you will. Kanye West saying that he will name himself
Christian billionaire?
Christian genius billionaire or Christian billionaire genius? Something
Kanye,
of that effect. We should stop paying attention to these things. I don't know how you felt about the newest album. There's one song off of it that I've enjoyed. More than anything, I would like Kendrick Lamar to take the sample and rap over it. That's really all I would care for.
Yeah, I've always thought that, like, if Kendrick had Kanye production. Now, he has really good production. Like, Kendrick is, like, it's stepped up, but I feel like it's just Kanye's always kind of been on another level.
Yeah, I would say him and Dre.
Yeah.
Two of the most famous, certainly. Strange, though, and we keep giving him attention, so he keeps doing these things.
Exactly. All right, Painter, it's time now to talk about some Free Money Friday. We got your picks there. We got the info you needed to know about Greg Peterson from Greg Peterson here on the Lunch Break.
The machine. He started your Free Money Friday, so now we are continuing.
Let's keep it going, all right? Here we go. Painter, I am 25-23-2 on the season. Had another push last week. Did you see the push I had, though?
No,
I had Troy. I had Troy in that one. They played Georgia. They played Coastal Carolina, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Troy's up by a touchdown. They're a one-point underdog. Coastal Carolina at home scores the game-tying touchdown with seconds left, goes for two, and the win, and gets it. They end up winning by one, so that one is a push, even though I thought it was going to be pretty much a pick'em game. All right, you ready?
Yes.
All right, here we go. Painter, I don't know why. I don't get it. I don't understand. Maybe there's something I'm missing here. But I don't think there's really anything I'm missing here. Last week, Purdue beat Nebraska 31-27. Right? Purdue's had a tough season. They've had a lot of injuries. Rondale Moore hasn't been healthy. They've lost Elijah Sindelar, their quarterback. But they beat Nebraska. All right. Northwestern, your beloved Wildcats, Painter,
thought they were going to be okay.
Here's some stats for you about the Northwestern Wildcats so far this season. You ready?
Ready if you are, baby.
Northwestern is averaging 9.75 points per game. It's the last in the FBS. No Power 5 team since 2001 has ever averaged under 10 points a game. Northwestern, by the time the game kicks off tomorrow, they will have gone at least 34 days and 44 drives without a touchdown. How bad is Northwestern's offense?
You ask.
The Wildcats have 8 touchdowns this season. Rutgers has 15.
Oh, don't do that. Oh, don't do that.
Yeah. So here's where we're at, Painter. I know Purdue's had a lot of trouble this season, but Northwestern is a 2-point favorite over Purdue at home this weekend. Okay? You know what I say to that?
What do you say to that?
Purdue, give me wow. Purdue straight up. They're beating Northwestern. Northwestern doesn't have a pulse on the offensive side of the ball. I don't care how hurt Purdue is. Give me the Boilermakers at +2 on the road in Evanston. They're getting that win this weekend.
Okay, moving on then. You heard it here first.
Moving on. This is about to be a very dangerous situation in the SEC. Here we go. Let's lay it out for you. Arkansas is bad. They got hammered by Mississippi State last weekend. They look like they have given up. They are changing their quarterback.
Again.
They're going with the grandson of Jerry Jones, I believe, is the quarterback, a guy that Arkansas fans have wanted to see for a while. This weekend they play Western Kentucky. What do we know about Western Kentucky? Painter, do you know anything about Western Kentucky? That they could beat Arkansas. That's a great point. Western Kentucky is quarterbacked by a former Arkansas quarterback.
To answer your question, I have no news. That is news to me about Western Kentucky.
All right. Ty Story is the starting quarterback at Western Kentucky. This Western Kentucky team lost in week one to Central Arkansas, right? Since then, they have been 5-3. They're throwing the ball around the yard. They've lost two close games to Marshall and Florida Atlantic in back-to-back weeks. Arkansas looks like a team that has flat out given up. And if they lose on Saturday to Western Kentucky, this might be it for Chad Morris right off the bat.
You know how Baby Billy waved goodbye to Judy?
Mm-hmm.
That is what we will have.
Yes. Western Kentucky is a 1.5-point dog on the road against Arkansas. It's basically a pick 'em. The Hilltoppers are going to put an end to the Chad Morris era, I believe, this weekend. Give me the Hilltoppers, too.
You heard it here first.
Put a death blow on Arkansas.
Not only will Will Arkansas lose to another team that they probably shouldn't, Justin says that's going to wrap it up for the Morris era.
I truly believe that.
If it's close or if they lose, yeah, I don't know how you can justify that as an Arkansas fan or administrator.
Pick number 3, South Alabama and Texas State.
Going back to South?
South Alabama is bad. They also look like a team that has given up this season. All right? Taking on a Texas State team that is spunky. They're not very good.
Good word.
But they're spunky.
Scrappy.
All that good stuff. Jake Spavital is their head coach. They're trying to do some funky things on offense, get it going. Texas State is a 7-point home favorite against South Alabama. South Alabama has gotten hammered in every game they've played in for the past few weeks. I think they've gotten hammered in pretty much every game they played against an FBS team this year. I know Texas State's not good, but more than a touchdown, I'll go with the Bobcats to continue to put. This might be the end for Steve Campbell, South Alabama's coach. This might be a quick tenure for him. The way South Alabama, and they're investing in that program. You know, Auburn's playing them, but you know, South Alabama's supposed to be opening up a new stadium.
They need to win some games, right? They need a little positive mojo for sure. So you think that's going to wrap it up there? It's a rough week for some coaches, according to you.
I don't know if it'll wrap it up, but I think it would be really bad. I can't buy into South Alabama right now, even as a 7-point underdog. All right, also, Painter, we're going to go back to the Big Ten. Talking about bad offense. You know who's had a bad offense this year as well? Northwestern has been just horrific.
Historically bad, yes.
Michigan State has not been able to move the ball this season either. And it has been a real problem, okay? They are 14.5-point favorites against Illinois. Illinois beat Wisconsin, mm-hmm. beat Rutgers. They're going to a bowl game this year. They're moving the ball on offense. They're not a great team, but they're moving the ball on offense. Michigan State can't score. 14.5 is a lot. I know Michigan State's defense is good, and they're going to give Illinois some problems, but I don't know if Michigan State's going to be able to score enough to cover this spread. So give me Illinois +14.5 on the road at Sparty this weekend. And finally, Painter, number 5, you're going to have to stay up really late to get this one to cash. You ready? We're going back to Hawaii. We're going to see our friend Cole McDonald.
Excellent.
They're taking on San Jose State at home. They're an 8-point favorite in this one. San Jose State, very sporadic. Hawaii, you know one thing about Hawaii. It's a home game. It's the last game of the night, and you know it's gonna get weird, and you're going to get some points on the board. I expect Hawaii to put up a lot of points on a bad San Jose State defense at home.
get a little bit of momentum going. If I remember correctly, hold on, let me double check this.
Are you getting weird this weekend, Justin? On your Saturday off?
No, I'm not.
Nope. All right, that's it.
If I remember correctly, everyone, yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4. If they win this game, this would be a good time to try to get back into bowl contention. Be a good win for Hawaii. I think they put on a show for their fans at home, back at home in one of these late night games. Give me Hawaii -8 over San Jose State.
All right, recap for us then.
Here's your picks, your Free Money Friday picks. Purdue +2 at Northwestern. Just don't think Northwestern's offense can do much of anything. Western Kentucky +1.5 against Arkansas. I think Arkansas has given up, and Western Kentucky is going to put an end to the Chad Morris era this weekend. I think Texas State -7 over South Alabama. I think Texas State's just better than 7 points over South Alabama this year. Give me Illinois +14.5 at Michigan State. Don't know if Sparty has the offense to cover that spread, and Illinois has been playing good football recently. And finally, give me Hawaii -8 against San Jose State. Cole McDonald, the People's Heisman, throwing the ball around the yard late at night. I feel like they can put up some points at about 3 o'clock in the morning. That's going to be what we see from this board. So yeah, we talked about the big games in college football coming up this weekend. None of those games fit right there. That was just straight up a lot of bad offense and bad football, and then Hawaii. So we're out here trying to give you value, folks.
Looking at Mark D'Antonio's record over the last few years, he brought real stability to Michigan State for a number of years, but since 2016 they've gone 3-9, 10-3, 7-6, and they're now 4-4. If you're Michigan State, making a move away from him is certainly risky because of the stability, again, that he has brought over the better part of the last 5 to 10 years. But in the last five specifically, really the last three, I think when you look at that conference, which there are some compelling arguments that although Michigan has been disappointing with Wisconsin, Penn State, and certainly Ohio State there, is it about that time to start considering making moves, or at least going into the offseason? Do you think there's some concern about his future season?
I wonder if D'Antonio will just hang it up. Like, I don't know if they'll ever fire him.
It feels like it's fizzling a little bit, doesn't it?
I think he could just hang it up and be like, you know what, I'm done coaching, and move on and see where Sparty moves on from there. But no, I think that's probably the more likely option. But yeah, they probably need some new life in that program.
Follow the Lunch Break on Twitter at Lunch Break ESPN. You're hearing the Lunch Break on ESPN 106.7. Call 321-1390 or toll free 1-888-382-7502.
Welcome back to the Lunch Break on ESPN 106.7. Justin Ferguson, Painter Sharpless. Well, we've had your college basketball picks. We've had your college football picks. Let's go to the NFL. Not giving you any picks, but let's talk about the NFL lineup, Painter.
If you will.
You ready?
Only if you are. If you are.
All right, let's go for it. Last night, though, the Raiders beating the Chargers. Let's talk about it real quick. Daniel Carlson, I think, missed the first extra point of his life.
Maybe his life. Did you go back and look at high school?
We couldn't find any high school stats in there. Yeah. He had never missed one at Auburn. He never had missed one so at that point in the NFL. Missed it. It's okay, though. Chargers had the worst two-minute offense I've ever seen in my life.
I thought Rivers was going to do it. I was like, yeah, he's going to lead them on a drive, and he did not. He threw a game-sealing interception instead.
How about the Raiders down by four, going with a running play to get the win? Josh Jacobs is really good, and putting him up the gut. Raiders are going to make the playoffs. I hope we're all ready for that, because they're 5-4 now. Their next two games are against the Bengals and the Jets. They have the easiest back half of the schedule in the National Football League. This is happening. John Gruden's going to the playoffs.
Yeah, it seems like they could get to 10 wins. And
that should get you in the playoffs in the AFC this year. All right, you ready? Sunday's lineup. We start off with the Bears and the Lions. The Bears, their offense is bad. The Lions, their offense is good, but their defense is bad. So, like, what's going to give in this matchup? Matt Stafford, I think, is going to throw for 350. No, he's probably not going to throw for 350. But this is what he's been doing, and they still haven't been able to. They still keep coming up short, and then the Bears just can't move the ball. So, like, what's going to happen? This could be a really bad, ugly game, I would say.
Not particularly interesting. Yeah. And, like, Chicago just sort of seems like a foregone conclusion that next year Mitch Trubisky is not your quarterback. Maybe that's not the case, but it doesn't seem likely his home will be in Chicago. Doesn't seem like he'll be the starter anyway. Kind of disappointing if you're a Bears fan the last two seasons with the roster makeup they've had. And you feel like this is the time where you spent the number two overall pick on the quarterback. He should be helping you get there, and I think he's actually detracting from them.
Cam Newton on the IR. Is he a Bear next year?
I think it's very possible. It definitely seems like one
Mariota's
of the other.
Mariota's another one to look out for.
Yeah, they've both been linked to that. I'd like to see Cam with a better roster and maybe an offense.
Levitard show, I think it was Guillermo, pointed out, he put it into the universe, Cam to the Patriots.
Yeah.
After Brady retires this year.
It would be, you know, one thing you can say a lot about Cam Newton. I know people around here are obviously huge fans outside of Auburn.
He got to play in an offense where the whole goal was for him to get the ball out of his hands as quickly as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think that Belichick just would, it would be exciting to see that guy scheme and do something with a different quarterback. Give me that if it's possible. I don't believe it happens.
Funny. It would be funny. If you want to see a dead body, the Bengals are hosting the Ravens this weekend.
Yikes. Yeah, the Ravens.
Probably the worst run defense in the league taking on Lamar Jackson.
Good luck.
The Cleveland Browns are 2-6, Painter.
Oh,
yet
boy.
They are 3-point home favorites against your Buffalo Bills. Painter.
The disrespect.
Painter, tell me why the Bills are going to give the Browns their 7th loss of the season this weekend.
This seems like a game in which the Browns, unfortunately for the Bills, decide to play their best game of the year for no particular reason, still will miss the playoffs. I think, though, if you're looking at a struggling Browns offense, Baker Mayfield has simply not looked good. Now, part of that, obviously, the bigger conversation is they're going to have to improve their line this offseason and help him. But he hasn't been great. The offensive line hasn't. The Bills' strength, very obviously, is a good, good defense. So if they continue to play the way that they have most of the season on offense, Josh Allen doesn't need but 17 or 20 points.
Yeah. I saw a stat yesterday. Odell Beckham Jr. has the fewest targets and catches through 8 weeks of the season of
so
his career.
So glad I drafted him. What a good move on my part.
It's crazy how much he's not getting the ball in this offense. Chiefs, Titans. Titans still in the mix in that wild card spot. Chiefs, Mariota. Should be back in Mariota was working at wide receiver in practice the other day. Don't like to see
not
that.
Not a fan of that.
Patrick Mahomes expected to play again on Sunday, so that will be in Nashville. Another dead body alert. Saints hosting the Falcons. Both teams coming off a bye.
And you hate to see it if you're a Falcons fan, because the Saints are good, and the Falcons are not. And I think I have a good feeling about the way this one goes. Atlanta fans?
Would you pick the Saints to be your Super Bowl favorite right now? I think they might be for me. Like,
they're so balanced on both sides of the ball.
Yeah.
I mean, it is hard to pick against the Patriots, but part of that, you know,
it's that inevitability.
Right.
But even still, I just think they like the Ravens showed some issues with the Patriots last
week. And the Saints have gotten so close the last two seasons.
Two really bad football games after that. Giants Jets at 12 o'clock on Fox. It's going to be real bad between the two teams from the Meadowlands, and that will be followed by by Painter. Giants Jets.
That one's here on ESPN 106.7.
Oh, no.
Noon.
How did they draw that one?
And the Rams Steelers at 4. Yikes. Doubleheader this Sunday on ESPN 106.7.
Cardinals Buccaneers.
You know,
a lot of offense, not a whole lot of defense in that one, probably.
Probably some turnovers. I guess it's exciting to watch Kyler Murray with Kenyon Drake now. And
yeah.
You know, I don't have a lot to say about this matchup, but I expect there to be some scoring.
Afternoon slate, Dolphins-Colts.
Yeah, whatever.
Jacoby Brissett out for this one, I believe.
Yeah, whatever.
Don't think that one's going to go well.
If you're a Dolphins fan, do you care? Do you feel betrayed? Are you looking forward to perhaps?
Got a win last week. For a team that looked like they were quite obviously trying to go 0-16, getting a win, something.
So. All right, fair enough.
Panthers, Packers.
Give me the Pack.
The Pack. 5.5-point favorites in that one. Everybody wants to make Christian McCaffrey into this MVP candidate, and he's done. Like, he's got a chance to break the total yardage record of Chris Johnson this year. But like, if the Panthers don't make the playoffs, I don't really think it matters that much in the long run. Panther, you said Rams Steelers on ESPN Radio this weekend.
Rams Steelers following Giants Jets. You can hear the Rams and the Steelers at 4 on Sunday.
Should be an interesting game. Rams really need a good road win here. And then Sunday Night Football on Sunday night, wrapping it up. Vikings and the Cowboys on NBC. Once again, we're going to get the Cowboys on national TV. See if the Vikings can keep it rolling as well. 334-321-1390 is the way to get up with us. We got another caller on the line right now. Painter?
Roy.
What's up, Roy?
Hey, y'all just got through talking, and you said it was an outside chance, but I just made me think for a second on the Patriots. If Cam Newton went to the Patriots, did you guys think about the fact, well, for me, the Patriots are the Alabama of professional football, but that you would have two Auburn quarterbacks at the Patriots same
It would be so bizarre for that to happen,
especially where the narrative around Gus Malzahn is, oh, he can't develop, he can't put a quarterback in the NFL, and then Bill Belichick would have, it's an interesting scenario.
We still got him. I think we lost him. All right, well, we appreciate the call, Roy. That's an interesting point. That it would be kind of hilarious for a team so reviled, especially around here, would be. Would be a team where we're two
Auburn
quarterbacks.
There'd be some internal struggle going on, I think, for some Auburn fans.
Look, the Patriots, got Jonathan Jones and paid him. Like Jonathan Jones is a key member of that defense now, and a defense that had been up to last week one of the best we had ever seen in the NFL.
Roy, thanks for the call. Carson, your turn.
Hey guys, Justin, yes. I've got to disagree with you. Christian McCaffrey is undoubtedly the MVP at this point.
Okay.
I mean, I understand that, but think about it. Okay, Kyle Allen, I think Christian makes Kyle 10 times better than he would be without Christian. I think he makes the – I don't think the Panthers have half the wins they have now without Christian. And I think, like, when you have a player with the production of Christian and the ability to win games basically on his own, I mean, I understand the playoff argument, but
– That's my thing.
I mean –
He's great. He's great. There's no doubt about it. I think Russell Wilson and Lamar Jackson probably are the ones that are probably going to get it. But I think, do you agree that they probably got to make the playoffs in order for him to be the MVP, right?
Generally, it's a qualifier that your team has to be relevant.
Yeah. That's my thing.
And I would say that if it's not going to be Christian, then I'd say Lamar. I think Lamar is by far, if from a quarterback position, Lamar is, he's the best right now. He's just tearing it up, but I think Christian is the best overall player in the league right now, but that's just my opinion. And I'm a little bit biased because I am a Panthers fan, but week in and week out.
Right, exactly. Go ahead.
And then, Painter, I know you like Northwestern, and I know they're struggling, but I've got a proposition for you.
Oh, all right, man. Go ahead.
All right. So how about for a nerd school to be a fan of, Northwestern's just struggling right now. Why not Dave Clawson to the coffin? In Wake Forest, 7-1, on a tear, probably Orange Bowl bound. I mean,
there you go,
why
Painter.
Not Wake?
There you go, Painter. If you want to switch loyalties, Wake Forest, smallest school in the Power Five.
That is a good point, and you talk about getting to call yourself an underdog fan, but I don't think, Carson, I can – how about this? I will root for them from this point on because Northwestern is setting historic benchmarks for being boring and bad.
That is true. All right, well, that's fair enough. I appreciate y'all taking the call.
Thanks, Carson.
Absolutely. Here's the other thing about the whole thing with McCaffrey and all that. He's got a chance to break Chris Johnson's yardage record, and that is – I don't know if we were ever going to – in this day and age where so many guys are – where you spread the ball out to as many people as possible, where running backs are less of your feature guy and you want to go by a committee, it is amazing how much value they're getting out of him. It is truly incredible to see how much he's getting the ball this season, and you're right, keeping him afloat. And if the Panthers make the playoffs, maybe we'll see how it goes.
Let's go back to the phone before we get to our final break. As Shane is on the line, haven't heard from Shane in a little while. What's up, man?
Hey guys. Hey. So for the MVP, you have to make the playoffs, or is the MVP trophy or award for the entire season plus the playoffs, or is it for the football season, like the regular season, like the Heisman?
They
judge on
Yeah, they announced the MVP at the end, like right before the Super Bowl, I believe is where it happened. So I just think like my whole thing is like they need to be in the playoffs for people to say he's probably the most valuable. But I don't know.
But to qualify, I mean, like when they're judging this,
yeah.
Is it? I don't know whoever's making these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
Is one of the things you have to be in the playoffs?
I think it makes the argument
for the 16 games.
It makes the argument more difficult if your team can't make the playoff that you were that elite of a player. I think there are some real arguments Carson has when you look at his numbers that are elite. But if your output of the team isn't
to Shane's question though, I think they do take the playoffs into account, like right before the Super Bowl.
I think you have to. Yeah, like, don't you have to.
My last thing is, like, you know, if this team can't make the playoffs, but they're still winning a lot of games and they're still making up points, and it's only because of this one dude.
Yeah.
I think that should be, you should get more credit for that than you know, the, a few, maybe probably, they're probably going to miss it by two or three games. So they're going to get, he's going to get punished by those two or three games, not the 10 or whatever it is that he's just blitzing people.
And Shane, anyway, maybe some voters will see it that way.
Yeah. It might be because look, if you break the all-time yardage record in a season, that's huge, and so you have to definitely put it in that aspect as well, Shane.
Yeah, all right, guys, War Eagle.
Appreciate it, Shane, as always. All right, we're gonna get to break. When we come back, we will have what's on tonight, and it's a loaded one wrapping up today's show. And final thoughts on Auburn Davidson.
Like us on Facebook at ESPN 106.7.
Just a few minutes remaining here on a Friday edition of the show. Auburn at the Naval Academy taking on Davidson tonight. Auburn high, though. They're at home against Murphy. Round one of the playoffs coverage. Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate have the call beginning at 6:30. Kickoff at 7. Justin Ferguson has Free Money Friday on point. I feel it in my bones. If you missed any of that or our conversation with Greg Peterson, the machine, listen to the podcast. Justin, how is that podcast possible?
Yeah, if you missed any of today's show, you can check out our podcast presented by University Ace Hardware on ESPNAU.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spotify, wherever you listen to your podcast. University Ace is your Auburn helpful place, located next to the movie theater here in Auburn.
Time now for What's On Tonight.
All right, the lead dog on What's On Tonight, CBS Sports Network at 5.
You warned everyone, you said figure this out.
Figure where it is. Number 24 Auburn taking on Davidson. Painter. This is going to be a close game. I think this is going to be a back and forth one. I'm really interested to see how much Auburn is going to be able to slow down Davidson's attack. This is a team that wants to, you know, shoot and be very, very efficient in doing it, shooting from deep. Can Auburn speed them up a little bit? Can they use their depth to their advantage like we were talking about with Greg earlier? And can their athleticism win out on the defensive end?
I say yes. How do you feel about this?
I think Auburn wins a close one, but I think it's going to be very close, and they're going to need some big games from their backcourt tonight. So I will go with Auburn over Davidson in a close one. Should be a fun one either way. You're going to see a really good mid-major take on an Auburn team that is still trying to figure some things out, but the ceiling is very, very high. SEC Network at 6, Kentucky begins their month stay at Rupp Arena and never really having to do anything else. They take on Eastern Kentucky tonight.
Why? Why do that? I actually don't understand. You know, look.
They try to backload it right before. They backload their non-conference schedule right before they get to SEC play. They play this big one every year at the beginning because everybody wants them to be in it. And then it's just a charging up of the schedule. I don't like it, but, I mean, Kentucky gets all of their bad games out of the way, and they do it all at home for the most part. ACC Network at 6, Duke, fresh off that victory over Kansas. They will take on Colorado State.
How do we feel about this?
I mean, I don't know how good Colorado State is, but I think Duke's going to handle them. ESPN Unit 6, James Wiseman and that five freshman starting lineup with Penny Hardaway at Memphis taking on Illinois-Chicago tonight. See what Wiseman does as a follow-up at the FedEx Forum in Memphis. ESPNU at 8 o'clock, another team that played the other night in the Champions Classic. Kansas hosting UNC Greensboro at Allen Fieldhouse. So, got Cameron Indoor, Allen Fieldhouse, and Rupp Arena all getting nationally televised games tonight as those teams come back from playing in Madison Square Garden. The only other matchup that's probably going to be close, Auburn-Davidson is supposed to be one of the more exciting games on the board. The one that might be even better is on ESPN at 8:30 tonight. Washington taking on number 16 Baylor. Auburn not playing Washington this year, but they are playing. But Baylor's playing them. So
they have Washington next year, yeah?
Yeah, they pushed it back. And pushed that back for a year, so they will return to Seattle at that point. Before Washington-Baylor on ESPN, we will have our NBA game tonight. And, boy, it's not a good NBA slate tonight because the ESPN nationally televised game this evening is Cavs-Wizards.
Yikes. That is – I don't –
dire.
I don't know what to say about that. I feel a little bit offended.
That's dire.
Stan Van Gundy, just talk to me for 3 hours instead. I'll take that.
Fox Sports Southeast tonight, Kings-Hawks, 6:30.
Caca.
Hawks coming off a tough game the other night, and trying to get it together without John Collins. NBA TV at 9:30 tonight, Heat-Lakers. Heat been one of the best teams in the NBA so far this season. Lakers only loss so far has been to the Clippers on night one, so... should be an interesting one in L.A.
LeBron James pretty good with elite talent around him. Three straight
triple doubles, the oldest man ever to pull that off.
Whoa.
ESPN 2 at 6. We want some college football tonight. UCF taking on Tulsa.
Former home of Gus Malzahn.
Mm-hmm. And former national champion UCF.
That's all I could work. That's all I could work up about Tulsa. I think also that the Outsiders was based in Tulsa.
Oh, I think it was. Yeah. FS1 at 9:30, Washington and Oregon State. Speaking of Oregon State, Charles Moore is transferring there, former Auburn defensive lineman. Washington has got four losses already this year. Oregon State's been a little bit spunkier than usual. Watch out. Okay. Watch out. Could get weird. A little Pac-12 after dark.
Yes, please. Yes. Yes, please.
The Painter Sharpless Ice Hockey Report.
RIP. Nope. That's the wrong one.
Painter, I don't know how the Pens are doing, but I do know one thing. We've got afternoon hockey. If you're interested in some hockey, right now, coming up in a few minutes on NBC Sports Network, you can watch the Tampa Bay Lightning take on the Buffalo Sabres. You're asking yourself, why is this game happening at 1 o'clock in the afternoon? And I will answer it, because it is being played in Stockholm, Sweden.
Whoa.
Part of the global series for the NHL. So a little afternoon hockey for us stateside. Lightning Sabres tonight on NBC Sports Network.
Because you all asked, the 9-6 Penguins defeated the New York Islanders, who are having themselves a great start to the season.
Look up the Predators score from last night.
Okay, we can handle that. We can
I want you to read that.
4-9 in favor of the Colorado Avalanche.
9 goals.
I feel like that just means in the second period at some point they were like, we're not winning this. Yeah. And we had too many drinks last night. Let's just go home.
The Dan Peck Memorial HBO pick of the evening.
Now, RIP, Dan. We love you. We love you so much.
And you know what else we love?
Kia of Auburn.
Well,
where you're always number one.
I was going to say pizza, wings, and waffles.
Pizza, wings, and waffles. All right. Pizza, wings, and waffles. That's my voice. Here's Dan's.
Pizza, wings, and waffles. Pizza, wings, and waffles. Pizza,
and there goes his spirit.
HBO family at 6 o'clock tonight. Wallace and Gromit.
Seems like one he would watch, but he'd watch it at how? Like, does Dan throw this one on at 11:30 at night? At 2 in the morning?
2 in the morning.
He's like, defaulting.
Yeah.
All right.
And finally, Painter, HGTV at 9:30. House Hunters International is in Singapore.
Love it. Love it. Love it a little bit more.
All right. That is what's on tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Auburn Davidson, CBS Sports Network at 5 o'clock. Me and Painter are both rolling with Auburn and what should be a fun back and forth matchup in Annapolis.
If people want to hang out with you, Justin, because I'll be on the sideline, where can they go watch the game with you?
Nope. That's not happening.
Okay.
That's not happening.
What are you doing at the Athletic this week since Auburn is not playing? What's going on? What's happening?
We got a story up at the Athletic today about Auburn's defensive line of the future, what that looks like. Derek Hall, Jaron Handy getting involved a lot.
You feel good about it.
Big Cat Bryant, Tyrone Truesdale are really good building blocks. Could they get a healthy T.D. Moultrie? Well, we'll see Connus Miller coming along as well. There's a lot of pieces next year. You're going to lose two of the best you've ever had. I think Auburn's defensive line is going to be in fine shape for 2020, showing what they've got so far this season. And then, of course, next week, Georgia week.
Georgia.
We'll get you ready on that at theathletic.com. You can follow me on Twitter at jfergusonau.
Painter, over to you.
Thanks for listening, putting up with us. Of course, we appreciate Greg Peterson joining us to talk college hoops. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck will be live from Kia of Auburn on South College today from 4 to 6. Auburn Eye Football, Scott Bagwell, Rob Pate have you covered on Wings 94.3. Kickoff at 7, coverage beginning at 6:30. We'll be back Monday with Josh Vitale. Have a wonderful weekend. Stay safe. And until then, keep it toasty.